Hello, this is Brent Elliott with Four Roses Bourbon, and you're listening to the Bourbon Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in. I cannot remember the last time all of us were here for a Proof Positive.
Has it been that long?
It's been a
it's
long
It's me. Time. Guys, I don't long you know. Time. Young, I love my children, but you know, they're busy. I'm busy.
Family.
Well, he's got CEO, man.
And his CEO job.
They expect me to do stuff.
Energy prices are fluctuating, they're going up and down. He's busy.
Mainly,
you do travel a lot.
I do travel a good
amount. A lot.
Yeah. Why don't you ever bring back any whiskey?
Yeah,
you did bring
one. Brought one all the way back.
It was the worst one I've ever had in my life.
Asia, and you quote, you panned him on the show.
Quote, gasoline aged in a bourbon barrel. We'll never forget that.
God.
We got so many emails about that comment.
People are like, wow, you're dumber than I thought.
It tasted like hell. I mean, it was like.
Oh, it was so good.
If someone poured gas in my mouth and lit it on fire, that's exactly what it would taste like.
It was so good.
It makes me uncomfortable to hear you say that.
God, the folks at
I love you for bringing it back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, the folks at Cavalon, but I pray
they never.
And you guys loved it.
Well,
because it was, I can't even. It was amazing.
I mean, the UFC champ who we had on.
Oh boy,
that is one of his favorite brands.
He would not.
Oh, Josh Barnett.
He would have punched me in the face.
Oh, he would have. He would have been
that
like,
guy.
Oh
my. A, goodness. He's smarter than any of us, and right. B, he would choke all three of us out at once.
I'm so mad that
with one hand.
I was in Miami on that episode.
All three of our throats
connect.
Yeah,
we need to bring him back on.
You were stranded in Miami because you're
stranded
because of the tropical storm down there. And that, remember, there's like a huge storm, and you got stranded. Well, you had to change your plans.
Well, that's partially.
And it was snowing like hell that night here. Remember,
I saw a picture of Ben on social media. I mean, it was like he was on a three wheeler in South Beach. With a cocktail in his hand.
They don't have three wheelers anymore. That's made up.
That's 1982, but
oh, that's on the main drag. What do they call those hot rod three wheelers?
Oh, like the like the.
Ben was on there. Ben was on the back, like hanging on some dude having a shot.
Was I?
I don't know.
Ben had his arms around some guy. I don't know.
If that's on social media, I apologize. I didn't know what I was doing.
What's happening?
We're gonna do a Proof Positive
with Kyle.
Yeah,
with
here Kyle. I am.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Jack Daniel's 12. Now, I've already poured it, and I took a little,
snake,
a little sniff.
You,
because
I've got
wow,
the back,
it's so different.
So I've got some background on this. So while you guys are sniffing,
didn't know it existed.
And tasting
right.
away.
So, first sorry. Of all, yeah. I've got a deviated septum, so I can't really smell. Yeah. That much, except that this is so different than anything I've ever
really?
Smelled. Yes,
it's
nice. Very
right.
Different.
So,
right,
so I think I can create some controversy here because
please,
Chris Fletcher, who is the master distiller today, he's also like the grandson, great grandson of Bobo, the legendary, you know, distiller, master distiller. Mm-hmm. There, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very short line. And a long history of master distillers at Jack Daniel's. And so Chris Fletcher, we have done our group here in Charleston, five different or six different Jack Daniel's single barrel picks, including like the second ever, you know, barrel strength, like uncut, unfiltered that they did during COVID, just before COVID. And he came to Charleston and we were doing a barrel release party at the time. We had this like fancy like Hollywood board up. People could take pictures, you know, with Jack Daniel's background with Chris Fletcher. He signed every bottle and just amazing guy, by the way. I hope he's listening to this because we got to bring him on. But I was thinking rather than bring him on, we need to go visit him.
Okay.
Yeah. We've talked about it.
We've been trying.
That. Yeah.
We need to go there instead of put him online. Kind of like we're going to go do Press and Van Winkle. But
yeah, I agree.
So he comes to Charleston and he, about halfway through the party, a big mansion here in town. He goes up on the big staircase and there are, you know, 100 people there because there were 100 bottles that were actually, you know, sold for each person that showed up. And the first thing he says is, let's get this out straight for everybody. Jack Daniel's. Okay, we're going to create great content.
Oh, I love it. Boy. Do it. Yes, I know what you're
Jack
about to say.
Daniel's is what he said is bourbon.
God bless you, God. Chris Fletcher.
But, God. But we choose to not call it bourbon. We choose to call it Tennessee whiskey, because we go through an extra process of filtration, charcoal filtration,
yeah,
that pulls out the impurities and some of the oils and things that we believe, basically, you know, are impure and not going to provide for a superior whiskey. And so that is like the main debate between your Tennessee whiskey and bourbon, is one goes through this charcoal filtration, and this vat of charcoal is like locally, like, you know, they prepare that, they create big giant bonfires, and they create this charcoal, yeah, and they put it in a big vat and they crush it up. And what it does is it creates like a very naked whiskey. It doesn't have oils to protect it, and maybe some of these quote impurities that they might say with it. But as a result, when it hits the barrel that they char, because they follow all the requirements of a bourbon, when it hits that barrel, it's exposed. There isn't any oils that gel on the side of the barrels to keep the oil, the oak, from really penetrating the bourbon. And so it has a typically a different aging cycle. So where the, you know, your great bourbons are in that 12 to 15 year range, or in the low parts of the rickhouse, are slowly aging. It's kind of cool. You got oils in there and in these quote impurities that Jack Daniel's say, but they would protect the bourbon and it can age longer. Some of your best Jacks have been at the highest floors, right? Where they actually only age 4 to 5 years, you know, but they have a lot more extremities. Mm-hmm. And because they're naked, you want to kind of hit them fast and furious, and they come off those floors. And so they're prime bourbons. Whereas your bourbons on the lower floor are typically your best bourbons. Your bourbons at the highest floor are typically your whiskey. Tennessee whiskeys at the highest floor are typically your better whiskeys.
Yeah, but this is a 12 year, right? So this is interesting.
Which is very interesting, because for years and years, they really never age dated until 2021, where they came out with the 10 year.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
Yes,
this is amazing. So today, on unbeknownst to me, because we literally just picked this tonight, we were going to do this, which is killing Joe because he's having to do this on the fly, but you have more knowledge about Jack Daniels than anyone I know. I saw this meme on X, and it was like, you know, it was the distribution of
call it Twitter.
Yeah, we can call it Twitter. It was like the distribution of, you know, anything, but distribution of intelligence. Like, you know, if you're a real idiot, Jack Daniels is great. And if you're a super genius, Jack Daniels is great. And then in the middle, it's like Jack Daniels sucks, right?
Yeah.
But I think there's something to that. And like, especially recently, Jack has been getting more and more respect for some of the stuff they're doing.
Some of the things, like the bottle and bond. Remember?
Yeah.
Was it?
We did that early on.
Which whiskey?
It was a bottle.
Magazine named it Whiskey of the Year.
That was Bottle of Bond. You're right.
It was like Whiskey Advocate or something. Yep. In
the $30 bottle.
That is one of, you cannot beat that bottle. Yep. It's like 30, 40 bucks. Right. It's available. Then you get to some of the other releases. Like I just had the Jack Daniel's McLaren. Yep. It was god awful. I hated it.
Really?
Hated it. 80 proof. Terrible. Would never drink it again. In fact,
McLaren,
I got a
like
bottle,
the F1
like, but it's
the
like
cars.
Yeah, it's a cool looking box.
It's a cool looking box, and that's all it's got.
Limited,
in my opinion.
Lando Norris, baby. Yeah.
Some of the other, I mean, it's either hit or miss with me. So the Sinatra version.
Yeah.
I like Sinatra.
Pretty damn good.
I like Sinatra.
Pretty good. Yeah. I haven't had the Blue Label, which is like the kind of the more rare or rarer, if that's a word,
like black
version. The Sinatra Black, I thought it was good. Yeah. I had it in Mexico. I found it out.
It's good.
And the blue and black would be
duty free store.
Essentially the same. It's just the blue was a special release. Yeah. There were some added.
I haven't tried the blue. The black was really good.
But that was earlier.
So I'm anxious to try this on the nose.
But let me just say real quick, because this is really important.
Hold your roll.
Whoa.
Slow your roll there.
No, it's important because what we're distinguishing here is that one goes through a charcoal fill process. And so the Jack recipe, their kind of recipe for success has been like, you know, those higher floors of the rickhouse produce some really incredible bourbons. And so anyways, the 10 year when it came out in 2021 was one of the first age stated right? Bourbons, whiskeys, Tennessee whiskeys, Jacks, mm-hmm. that were ever released.
And I'm comfortable. We can say bourbon. It's okay.
It's Tennessee whiskey, but they choose to call it that way. It is a bourbon, but they believe it's superior to bourbon because of the extra process.
Don't get crazy. Let's don't get crazy about it.
That isn't me. That is the master distiller of the largest producer of whiskey in the, you know, American whiskey in the world.
Coy Hill is one of the best I've ever had.
All right, but
at 140 something. Yeah, it's great.
All right, so that when the 10-year was released, it was like really high, you know, reviews and raves. And so this 12 year is really anticipated. It came out in 23 for the first time. And Jack isn't known for their older whiskeys. Their prime whiskeys have always been in that 5-year range. And so I don't have a lot of information about what, well, did these 12 years age at the lower floors? Are they, you know, were they moved around? But let me tell you a little bit of details, like the specs on what we're going to be drinking, which is that, first of all, it's a Tennessee whiskey, not a bourbon by class, by choice. Mm. And they have a copyrighted that, and they vehemently...
That sounds more marketing than like
it is not.
Real issues.
They truly believe, they believe their whiskey is superior because of that process, and they have copyrighted that, and that's what distinguishes Tennessee from Kentucky. And if there was Civil War today, it'd probably be those two states over bourbon and Tennessee whiskey. Okay. It's bottled at 107 proof, which Jack is typically, you know, 80 proof or whatever. So for them to go a higher proof here, it is 12 years of age rather than the standard, which could be 4 to 5 years of age. So we're talking about really superior whiskey here. This is what I find most interesting about Jack. Their mash bill, which is the same on this as all of their you know, Jack whiskeys, 80% corn, 12% rye, and 8% malted barley. That 80% corn profile, that is higher than...
It's very high corn.
That's higher than your George C. Stags, your mash bill number ones. It's higher than your Heaven Hills. Just about any bourbon out there.
No, nobody's in the 80s.
But what does that mean as far as taste? Is that going to be hotter?
Vanilla bomb.
Vanilla.
It is going to be, they've been known, like the quality have been known, like to be vanilla bombs, right? Really, the quality Jacks have like a great vanilla flavor.
When I did the bottle in bond, that's what I felt like. It was more like, almost like the Heaven Hill, like regular Heaven. It tasted like that. It was a vanilla bomb.
So this 12 is really going to be important that we're going to be trying. It's getting rave reviews, but the 10 really set the tone for the 12, and you can see them out there. This is only MSRP'd in that $80 range, but it's allocated, to be honest with you. And
I wouldn't open it.
On the secondary, the 12 is probably at least double that. At least.
Really?
At least double that. Or more.
Right, you guys owe me $25 a sip.
I will just put that out there that like the 10 and 12 are very special. If you come across them, they're reasonably priced, even regardless of our proof positive. I think you know, it's worthy of a try.
So we have the 10 and the 12
It won't be like
here.
The Jack that you know.
We're opening the 12.
Look at the color on this, all right?
Oh, no, it's crazy, so dark. Man.
The color stands up. I'm holding it up next to it right now, like a Booker's and George T. Stagg we just did.
It's so dark.
And some of that, what I'm talking about, is what is the impact of a charred oak barrel with a naked whiskey that's been sitting there for 12 years? And I don't know what the oak profile is going to be on this. I can't wait to try.
Well, you're going
to
like it.
But remember, oh, my God.
I've been drinking it the whole time
Oh, my God.
The whole time you've been talking.
While you've been talking, we've been drinking.
Yeah.
Well, I just had to get it all out.
I know, buddy. You did such a good job.
We got to get Chris Fletcher. We got to go see him.
We got to go see him.
And we need to do it on site, pick a barrel while we're there with him. You know, when we did the second ever barrel strength single barrel for Jack Daniel at Jack Daniel's, it was right before COVID, and he conducted as the assistant master the actual selection in an old rick house with six barrels, all at barrel strength.
It'd be fun to do a barrel pick on mic at like for an episode, and I think you could do it because it's like,
yeah, we could do that.
It's an hour.
Are you kidding me? The nose is just outstanding. I don't even have to drink this.
Yeah, whiskey.
You know what it is?
You're gonna like it.
Is I really like the vanilla profile on, you know, your higher end Jacks and some of the, but this has a little added oak on the nose, makes it more complex and rich. So it's not like just vanilla. It's really more like.
Yeah. Go ahead and have a sip.
Creme brulee. Okay.
Yeah, man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's good. Just gorgeous.
It's, yeah, it's beautiful.
Man, it's
that's so good.
Perfect.
Wow. So I'm going to say in that 150 to 200 range.
Okay.
Right. But I think this is.
What is the MSRP? We don't know, do we?
80. I mean, 80.
Yeah, you said like 2X. Yeah.
This is so good. And the reason you don't know is because your local liquor store rep
hooked me up.
Hooked you up at $80 a bottle. That's good.
It would be really cool to taste the 10 year beside the 12 year.
So
I'm not sure I would know the difference. Yeah. I mean, 2 years, same recipe. I'm not sure.
Here's what's interesting. I would have expected the oak because of the nakedness of the. To be
dominant. It's not oaky at all.
It is not oaky. I wonder if they just put some barrels on the first floor.
I don't know. It's not oaky. I mean, the depth of the flavor is crazy.
It's so good.
Really, the nose is nice. It's a fantastic.
Yeah. It's so dark.
If you want
to, so dark.
So dark.
It's so dark. And if you want to know what separates, for better or for worse, Tennessee from a bourbon whiskey from a bourbon, that's what you're tasting, Ben. It's that high corn profile, but also. It's not that uncut, unfiltered, like, you know, that we get enamored by the Bookers and the Elijah Craig Barrel Proofs and like that, like whole punch, you know, that whole crazy fullness.
No, that's not this, but it's
granular. It's this fantastic. Is so clean and beautiful.
Yeah, it's clean and beautiful. I agree. You know what? It reminds me of a little bit. And I've mentioned, I think on the previous one we did on having our Garrison Brothers pick open. And there's like the depth. Like that deepness of flavor in a wonderful way, but still the sweetness, not over oaky at all.
Yeah.
I honestly not getting a ton of oak.
No. I wonder.
It's a beautiful whiskey.
I wonder if this is a, you know, they first released this in 23. Of course, this wasn't hit us until mid. I wonder if it's the 24 release or not, but Ben, this one's got to go into the whiskey of the year category.
I agree with you.
I agree.
So,
is that good?
The funny thing is,
so different,
like in my mind, I'm comparing it to. The last Jack Daniels I had, which my good friend Todd hooked me up. He gave me the Jack Daniel McLaren, which
so it's not good.
God, it's, I mean, so, I was so excited. The box was beautiful. Yeah. It's got orange and it's like, it's so, and I tasted it. I was like, God, this is, not good. It's just not good. It's 80 proof. It's just,
it's kind of like the regular Jack.
It's not. It's so worse than the regular Jack.
I'm not talking about the Jack single barrel. I mean, the standard release on the shelf. It's just a commemorative bottle for the, you know, the whole Formula One series.
When I taste the Jack Daniels 12.
Yeah.
I'm going into the Coy Hill was one of the best.
Never had it.
Oh my God! It's so good.
So Coy Hill is there,
but you can't find it.
136 to 145. And it's outstanding.
It is next.
And
level.
It was a limited release that they did.
Yeah, and they've done it 2 years now or 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know if they released it over 2 years, but
I've got one. We can grab it.
Oh boy!
Good Lord!
I'll tell you how special it is. Like if you go into, so we're in the bunker. And then I've got the
speakeasy, inner bunker. Yeah.
The inner bunker. It's on a pedestal. Like that's how good it was.
And lasers.
My friend, laser. There's like lasers shooting off. No.
So I need to bring over.
It is so good.
So I need to bring over the so that second ever, you know, cash strength, barrel strength, Jack Daniels was ever done that our club did. The gold label. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do I have that one?
You do not have it.
Well, why don't I have that one?
It was years ago, and it was.
I don't care.
You were drinking light.
You probably got 40 of them.
I will bring a bottle because it is beautiful, and it is I think bottled at 133.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty darn.
Don't talk about it. Just do it. Just bring it.
Well, I'll bring it. I will. But here's the thing: what they've done with this.
One more little nip of that.
Is they have by proofing this down to 107, and Chris Fletcher, if you're listening,
It's well done.
It's a perfect proof for this. Really, oh my gosh, the goodness. I mean, I don't know what this would taste like at 135, right? Because you're like,
I'd like to try.
But no, you're taking a Coy Hill, which is younger with
this
an
is,
older.
Coy Hill is younger.
It's much younger. It's not age stated. This is a 12. Remember, there are, you have a 10 year and a 12 year. This is historic for Jack Daniel's to be age stated.
The oldest. I mean,
yeah,
is that incorrect?
This is the oldest.
Yes.
If it's not the oldest. Wow. It is like, in terms of the releases, these are the two that are age stated. And so what makes them really unique compared to any of, I mean, you've got an, again, it's a charcoal filtrated whiskey that's aged for 12 years, proof down to 107.
It's phenomenal.
If somebody says that that whiskey can't stand up to a Kentucky bourbon, then
then they're just being biased.
But this is
they're
kind
from
of
Kentucky.
So Chris would always, when he said, you know, like it take some of these like impurities, these flavors that what he would call like non-desirable out by charcoal filtering. Can you taste the cleanness of this compared to, let's say, Booker's?
Yes.
How clean this is.
Yeah.
More vanilla, more just a different.
And there's a different, I don't know that I'm I can, not, but there's a different flavor profile.
I'm not
for sure.
I'm not saying that one profile is better than the other. I'm just
they're different.
Explaining that charcoal filtration does have an impact.
I agree.
On a whiskey. And you can decide, our listeners, what you like better. But this is damn good. God, so, I want to try the 10. Shit.
Yeah. Good crack up. It's up there.
No, the 12 is just fine.
Yeah. Let's stick with this.
Kyle.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, it's fantastic. Two thumbs up. My gosh. And for $80, I mean, for $160, whatever it is.
What would you pay for, if you saw it on the shelf, let's say for $200, would you go?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
$300 and below, I'm in. It's a
Joe, you paying really $200 for it?
Oh, yeah, man. I would do it all day long because it is clean. I mean, this is clean. It's clean and it's nice. And it had the flavors of the corn, that 80% corn in here, that those beautiful
color. Look at the color. I mean, we've said it, but
the
color
is incredible.
Crazy.
So, and I remember the first time that I had, and I keep going back to Coy Hill because to me, Coy Hill was like, I mean, Jack Daniel, it's like it took Jack Daniel to me to a different level. Yeah. Like I tried it and I was like, holy hell, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And it was, the proof was, I don't remember if I tried the 140 or the
130 something, but what does matter?
But it was like next level. It was just it's like the Garrison Brothers when we named it Whiskey of the Year. It was like this whole other experience. Jack Daniel's 12, and especially after I was so disappointed by the McLaren, it is the flavor profile to me, an amateur, is just different. It's different. It is one of those where when you guys leave, I'm going to sneak back down here and I'm going to keep sipping on that bottle.
Yeah.
It makes you want more. I don't know what it's going for the secondary. It's probably going to go.
I don't know. Isn't that 150-ish to 200?
I mean,
I would pay that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really damn good.
It's really
well,
good.
It's to me, it's a really refined.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like a really refined Tennessee whiskey.
That's a better way to describe
it. Carefully crafted here. This could be, now the Coy Hill at 140 proof generally, that's in your face. And so,
this is just beautiful.
This is exactly.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you a little bit of like the, where bourbon tries to go at 107, right?
Yeah.
This is what? 107.
Yeah, but the depth of flavor at this proof, I think, is really unusual. That's why it's so interesting to me is like 107? Really? Like
there are very few allocated whiskeys that could stand up.
I wonder if we should do this double barrel with a Weller 12.
Oh no. Oh. Weller 12 weeded, right? I mean, it's not gonna be close.
I don't know. This is really good.
Weller 12, I love it. And Weller 12 is what I start the night with.
Yeah.
Like if I'm going to start, I usually take a weeded. It's more subtle. And I can't tell you that.
Would you put it up there with a Weller 12 or no?
I would take this over Weller 12.
God, this is so close.
No, this is.
I hate, like, it's almost unfair, but this is really good whiskey. Like,
there are very few that can compare it. So if we compare it to some, like Jack, it's kind of, Jack is all over the map.
Yeah.
To me, this one is a home run.
Yeah.
This is in like the running for whiskey of the year.
And this, I agree. This is their second, you know, and again, 23 was the release year, but the fact that we was at least released to our state 24, I don't know when it was produced.
Oh, this is a 23?
Well, that's when it was first released.
Hell, I didn't get it till 2 weeks ago.
My point is that like it may have been like
fall. Better relationships.
Well, it may have been released. I don't know if there's a second batch in 24 or if it just takes, because they did produce like 18,000 bottles. So there might be a wave finally coming through. But I think that this is definitely this is on our list. Of,
yeah.
100%. Yeah,
folks. If you see Jack Daniel's 12, I don't know. I mean, yeah. You said they're 18,000
the
bottles.
Man. I don't
under 200, the 10 has got to
be good.
Right?
The 10 that has to be good.
You got to pick this up. And
either one.
And the 10's there too.
And email me because I want to know what you think. This is like, this crazy? Is a next level whiskey.
Clean.
It is next level. This there are very few allocated, and this is allocated.
Yeah.
But there are very few allocated, you know, the $3,000 to $5,000 bottle, not dollar, bottles that can compare to this. This is like when I tasted Coy Hill for the first time, Jack Daniel's Coy Hill, I was like blown away. This is up there.
Yeah,
it's not quite there, but it is up there.
Let me tell you, Coy Hill, if it's north of 140 proof right now, is on the secondary person to person over $1,000 a bottle, right?
Really?
Now. And in the retail, you can't even find it.
Like no, I've never seen it here.
But my point being is the 12 and the 10, I haven't tried the 10.
Well, the 10 is lower proof. I know we need to wrap this up. Yeah, the 10 is lower proof.
What is it? I don't know.
I look, maybe 95. This is 107. Yeah, so that's it. That's the other interesting. This is older and higher proof. So like
I say go grab the 12.
Get the 12.
Well, you know, we're proofers on this channel.
Yeah.
Well, it would be interesting to try them side by side.
Well, I mean, it might be that the 10 is more readily available. It's cheaper. And it's still a good.
I seriously doubt it.
It is, but it's.
Just go get the 12, man.
It's it's a good drinker, but if you see the 12 sub,
grab it.
200 under.
Nah, this is
go
next
get it.
Level whiskey.
Yeah.
Make sure you pick it up.
God, Chris Fletcher, go, buddy.
Dude, you're killing it. Everything about it is perfect. Jack Daniel's 12. Thanks for tuning in.